With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to the book of Acts for our reading this afternoon and read the entire chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mylene. And we sailed thence, and came next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Trigelium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer. Loved ones, I would be remiss if I didn't express the appreciation that we often feel as congregation prays for us before we open the word. May the Lord add his blessing to the word that we've read. This chapter that we've read together seems to be neatly divided into two portions. One of the journey of Apostle Paul as he traveled through various cities. And the last half would be Apostle Paul's testimony to the elders in Ephesus of his life and his following of the Savior. In these two sections, in Paul's journey, it relates so much to the journey of our life. This journey begins in Ephesus, and he circles around through Macedonia, Asia, a few cities of Asia Minor, Greece, and then comes back to Ephesus. And isn't that how our life is? God told Adam, "Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." The scripture tells us that we have brought nothing into this world. So it will be when we leave this world. We will be able to take nothing with us. Leaving where we started. There's times of blessed fellowship that is recorded here. There's times when Paul's fellow servants went in the ship, and here in verse 13, he had appointed minding himself to go alone on foot. There are times of loneliness. There are times of fear when the boy fell. And there's times of joy of receiving him safe and sound. There's a lot of connections and ways we can relate the journey of Apostle Paul to our life's journey. But one thing that I desire with God's help to bring out that is true about Apostle Paul's journey, that is also true for our journey, is that the Lord has a place in directing every step. We read in Acts chapter 16, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And then we know of the dream that Paul had, where the Lord was directing him to go into Macedonia. There were doors that God had closed as Paul journeyed, and there were doors that he had opened. God is directing the steps. God is directing and leading the life of Apostle Paul. And he also does the same for us. And there is a way in which God directs our lives, and even all of the events of the world and history that will be culminating with Jesus Christ's return and the eternal kingdom of God come down with men. But the journey of Apostle Paul's life had an even more personal and intimate facet or perspective on this idea that God was leading his life. He was leading him in a very personal way. And Apostle Paul was following. And this is one of the things that the Scripture calls us to realize and to reflect upon as believers, to know this for a truth, that God is leading me and I am faithfully following him. And these two truths for this very close and personal reality of God's leading our life, they're inseparable. We have a song that the children in the children's hymnal, "He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand, he leadeth me." These two things can't be separated. God has his way of leading and guiding us. But he does not want us to just simply fall into the flow, but to cooperate with him and to be his follower willingly. And that is what I believe we see in Paul's testimony. We can read this, and it is a wonderful testimony of one who is willing to believe and to follow and to obey regardless of the circumstance or the obstacles, regardless of his own feelings and the desires of his flesh. But he was so willingly given over to the will of God and God's plan as he was making it known through the gospel. And he knew that it was clear. He knew that it was clear to those who were around him. He left nothing to question about his faith and where he stood and what he believed was the most important thing to share. That men and women should heed the call of repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That his gospel might take a hold in his life and in the life of those that he spoke to. And that he would demonstrate it and show, this is the way. Follow me as I am following Jesus Christ. It's a testimony of faithfulness, regardless. And it is a beautiful thing to meditate on, to think about these words and the commitment The commitment that the Lord had to Apostle Paul, that through it all, Jesus Christ was faithful. And in turn, Apostle Paul was also willing to follow and be faithful. God was leading him. The Word of God teaches us about how God leads. God leads his people. About how Jesus leads. And often the illustration and the image is given of a sheep and a shepherd. So a very familiar passage is Psalm 23. And we think about, and we are desiring that God would bring a connection between me and his leading, that I would know how he leads. We are given this psalm: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord leads his people like a shepherd. In Isaiah, it says that he gently leads those that are with young. How much we need the leading of the Lord, those of us with young. That the Lord would take us by the hand, that he would direct us. He would guide us to the right decisions, to the right priorities. And he does that. He does that like a shepherd would to a sheep. Here it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters." How does God lead this sheep? He provides him with opportunities. Did he open his mouth to drink the water, to receive nourishment and refreshing? Did he open his mouth to eat the green pastures? Well, he guided him to it. And it is for us to partake. We remember this morning, we heard that we are blessed beyond measure, both spiritually and physically, being able to have the freedom to gather and having our needs, physical needs, met. God brings many blessings, and he has them in his hands, and he wants us to partake of the opportunities that he gives. Sometimes we wonder, will God put me in the situation where I will have no choice but to follow and do the right thing? Or will he place me in an opportunity where I do have the choice to follow, to obey? May God give us the wisdom when we have those opportunities, when I have the opportunity, to partake of his blessing, to partake in his obedience, to partake in his life and his kingdom, that I would do so. And we love when God leads us to blessing and gives us opportunity to be a blessing for one another. But we also see in this psalm the way the Lord leads. He leads as a shepherd leads his sheep. And the shepherd knows what is best. And sometimes that leads through experiences that the sheep would not choose on its own. Seasons of pain, of loss. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is unique and special and different for the believer who experiences hardship and trials, just like those that are in the world, they are experiencing hardship and trials. But our shepherd is with us. He provides us the correction and the comfort that we need when we go through things that God wants to bring us through, though we would not have chosen it ourselves. And we see one of those perhaps in Paul's journey. He was traveling, and in verse 3 it says he was abiding somewhere 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. I don't know that Apostle Paul would have put himself willingly in that situation, but it is what the Lord saw fit and brought him through. God was leading him. And maybe there's something that is in my life and that in your life that we question, why would God have done this? What is God's meaning? What is he trying to teach me? How will we ever know? How will we ever know what the experiences of life the Lord is trying to bring to our attention, to guide us and teach us? How is he trying to develop us into the image of Christ through these experiences that with our own eyes, we don't see how they fit together? Well, David says in Psalm 32, some verses about God's instruction. Verse 8 and 9. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Where do we need to look to know the guidance of the Lord? We need to look to him. If we are looking at ourselves and our own situations, we will see them. And we may use our own intellect to be able to figure out, this is how things seem to be going, and make a path for ourselves. But he says, I will guide thee with mine eye. So look to the eyes of the Lord. What is the Lord looking at? The Word teaches us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the lowly. The Word of God teaches us that the heart that is contrite, God will not despise. But those that turn away from God and disobey him, his eyes are turned away. How can we look to him? I believe we do so very often in prayer. When we are pleading and asking God the questions, why is this? What am I supposed to learn here? And what is my next step, Lord? We look to God in faith for those answers to those questions. We look to the Word of God. that teaches us the way we need to go. He says later, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." A man can do a very good job guiding a horse or a mule with a bit and a bridle, which are the pieces that go in the horse's mouth. And the man that's riding will give a tug and pull on that bit and bridle, and those very sensitive parts in its mouth will feel that, and he'll get the picture, and he'll understand, oh, this is the way my master wants to lead me. And he gives him a tug, and he pulls him in the way that he's supposed to go. But there are also some horse trainers that have led in such a way that the horse trusts them. And they don't need the bit and bridle in their mouth. And sometimes they can even cover their eyes so that they don't even see where they're going. But that horse has learned to understand what it means to be guided and led by its master. And that its master means it no harm. And that he will do what is good and right. And it's okay that his eyes are covered and he doesn't see the things that might spook him. God tells his people, don't be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, but have the understanding of who God is and how much he loves us and how he leads us into the things that are good and right. And in Jesus Christ, he has shown us the fullness of that leading, the purity of that truth that are contained throughout all of the scriptures. This is the way to go. Follow in it. May we know the Lord so well and come to trust him that we would be willing to be his faithful follower. These two truths never are separated in the life of the believer. God leads us. He guides us. And we, with God's help, with our hands firmly clasped in his, desire with all of our hearts to have a testimony like this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost in my life. And I desire to be of his faithful follower no matter what. May God bless his word.